Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
It's that time of night, you can't stay uptight. So come and join the people and I'm feeling all right here on Overnight America. Overnight America.
Oh man, every time I hear that I get a little pumped up. Doug and Donna, as always, man, I am so appreciative of them. And I know Doug said he's going to be listening to the radio documentary tomorrow night. Another plug for it. I produced one on Mr. Robert Hyland, the general manager of KMOX for, mid to late 50s. He started, I can't remember the exact year, but really KMOX came in its own in February 29th, 1960 with the launch of At Your Service. And he was running the radio station all the way until his passing in 92. It was an unbelievable run and continues to be for a radio station as historic as KMOX and is recognized in the industry as one of the most influential and historic radio stations of all time. If you were to put a list together of the five most influential radio stations, KMOX would be on that list. And I'm saying this as someone that's an outsider, as in I didn't grow up in St. Louis, so sometimes you don't realize just how awesome something is because it's in your backyard. And it's right here, and it's always been a part of you. And you think, oh, yeah, every city has a KMOX. No, they don't. This was something uniquely special, and it was something that St. Louis had, and it was its own. And thanks to the architect of it all, Robert Hyland. And tomorrow night, I'm going to be airing my radio documentary. It's 2 hours long. It'll run from 9 p.m. until 11 p.m., and from the 8 to 9 o'clock hour, we'll talk some KMOX memories, we'll pump it up, we'll get ready for it. In those 2 hours, I know you're going to love it, and you're going to just have to sit down and listen to the whole thing. And then after the documentary, so we can talk some more KMOX memories, get reaction from the one and only Bob Costas. So documentary from 9 to 11, Bob Costas is going to join us live on the show starting at 11 o'clock, and we're going to talk about Mr. Hyland, KMOX legacy, what it was like working, and maybe tell even more stories, things that didn't make the documentary that is worthy of telling the story. So I'm so appreciative, and I cannot wait to debut this to you tomorrow night. And I have many other specials I am planning to produce, but you'll get a feel for what I'm doing if you listen tomorrow. It took so much work to put this together. And I absolutely know you're going to love it. I think it's just going to take a matter of 5 minutes. You'll sit down, you'll start listening to it, and you'll say, wow, this is really good. You're not going to want to stop listening. I'm not just saying that to say it. I really honestly believe that you're not going to want to stop listening to it if you start. So be warned. Get comfortable. Sit back. Relax. Let this be the only thing going for you. And just let this be the thing that takes you away into the night tomorrow night. Whew, I can't wait. I really can't wait for you to hear it. So a few things happened today, and coming up in a few minutes, we're going to replay our interview with a local author. You may have heard it, but the local author put a book out, and it's an interesting look at St. Louis and telling the stories of St. Louis from people who grew up in St. Louis. His name's Jim Merkel. His book's called Growing Up St. Louis. He spoke to hundreds of people and got their stories and shared many of them in his book, which we're going to talk about coming up after. Since I didn't grow up in Missouri, I didn't know this, and I'm sure I heard this at some point, but didn't realize that in Springfield, Missouri, maybe their most famous resident, someone that used to live there, and someone that grew up there was Brad Pitt. Didn't know that. So Missouri-born Brad Pitt filmed a greeting for Missouri State University graduates and put that up online, and some people have been talking about it. Let's take a listen to a portion of it.
Hi, everyone. Brad here from quarantine with a shout out to the graduating class of Missouri State University. Yeah. Must be very strange doing this in these trying times, but no, we're rooting for you. Our money's on you to make this world a better place, and we wish you all the best in your future endeavors. So, you did it. You made it. Enjoy, congrats again, and think big.
All right, so that's a 30-second message to the graduates, which is enough to hold them over, I'm guessing, for the next 6 months. Yeah, Brad Pitt gave you a very special message. There was no celebrity that reached out and said something nice to my graduating class. I don't know if any of them had any high hopes for us. Who knows if many of them were even optimistic most of us would be able to do something productive with our lives. But I think when I go back and look at some of the people that were in that class, I feel like we've done pretty well. It is interesting when you go onto social media and you try to find people you graduated with and you see the things that they are doing and that some of them and the times the things they are not doing. The first thing that always stands out is, wow, that person has a lot of kids. They must have started early. That's always the first thing that stands out with all of the people in my class. And then you wonder, like, whatever happened to so-and-so, and they're just off the grid, nowhere to be found. But you don't care enough to actually dig a little bit deeper. And I'm done with the whole idea of going back and doing, like, high school reunions. I'm done with that. I did the 10-year reunion. Hated it. So I think anything from here on out will be a big no thank you. I'm going to be one of those that never attend anymore. I guess if we get to, like, the 50 and 60, maybe if I'm really up there and still feel like it. But no, I guess I'm coming up on the 20-year reunion. I'm going to skip that. I'll skip 30. I'll skip them all. I'm going to be one of those people. But, hey, at least they were able to have the good old Brad Pitt message to the Missouri State University graduates. And that's a nice message, you know, the message that our money's on you to make this world a better place. That is a good message. Sometimes you need to remind yourself that there are so many opportunities to make the world a better place that's out there. And sometimes you purposely pick the opposite. You pick something that doesn't make the world a better place, which is human nature. It's just something that people do. They go online and harass someone that they don't know or whatever the comments may be. Or, you know, maybe they'll go out of their way and ignore certain things or choose not to help when they could be good neighbors. They could be someone that would be patted on the back by Mr. Rogers, but instead they do the opposite. I think some people find ways to make the world a better place. It doesn't have to be a high-paying job. It doesn't have to be going out there and donating $1 million or trying to find a way to help the Alumni Association fundraise for a new scoreboard or anything like that. It might not be in the same way that Missouri State University likes their graduates to participate, but you'll find your way in your own community. Maybe it's something you change in your own family. Maybe it's raising kids and raising them well, and that's how you can make a difference in this world, and so many of these high school kids don't recognize that. So it's good to get that message. Good for Brad Pitt. Should I do a commencement speech at some point? Get in on what all the celebrities are doing? Nah, it's all right. Up next, local author. We're going to talk about Grown Up St. Louis on KMOX.
St. Louis's traffic station, KMOX.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Wow, I had so much fun talking about that floating McDonald's in the first segment. I got to tell you, I really missed out on something good. What would have to happen to bring it back? Whatever happened to that boat, too? That'd be an interesting mystery to solve at some point. Maybe it's just one of the experiences that you had growing up in St. Louis. And hey, how about that? What great timing. Author of the book, Growing Up St. Louis, Jim Merkel, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
And hi, there was a lot of kids there who are always talking about it. And when they hear it on KMOX, of the experience. I loved writing this book. It was more than nostalgia. It was the good and the bad of what is it like just to be a kid.
Oh, yeah. So what era did you grow up?
I grew up, I was born in 51. I spent from about 5 to 11 out in De Pere when it was country. And then I went to Webster, and that's a little bit more genteel. I loved it. And the thing about my generation, and everybody who is my generation will tell you the same thing, is that the parents on Saturday morning, you would get up and say, get out of here. We don't want to see you. And you'd come back for lunch, and then they'd say, come back when the lights run. And you'd have so many adventures.
And wait, so what area did you say you grew up again, Webster Groves?
I grew up from about 5 to 11. I grew up in out in De Pere, actually just west of when it was country, west of 270, and that was country, and you could walk places, and I had my sister had a dog, and there was a wire fence behind us with barbed wire fence, but when you were 6 years old, you could just go underneath and. Go underneath the wire and just walk.
Well, that was the day. Yeah. You know, times have changed so much since those days where the parents would just say, go out and don't come back. It's an opposite thing today. It was a unique time to grow up in St. Louis.
Oh, it certainly was. And today, of course, with both parents working, as soon as the mom has to go back to work, they put them in a pretty controlled environment from the very beginning. And they're definitely going to have a different response. I won't say that it's worse. I'd like to think it's, that it is, but maybe it'll be just as good. What I found in interviewing more than 100 people of every different kind is that the kind of thing that you get it that when who you are as a kid just makes you so aware of just affects so much of your adult life. In fact, yeah. I think I read in your bio that you were. That you decided that you were going to be a radio guy in when you were in third grade?
When I was young. I was in third grade. I knew right then and there that's what I wanted to get into. What about you? When did you know what you wanted to do in your life?
From the first time when I was a little kid, I wanted to write. I wanted to be in the news biz, and I was. I spent most of my life, and I think the thing was my mother looked at one of my very early things that I wrote, and she smiled, and she said, you really write well. And my dad was always talking about politics. He was right-wing as he could be, and he was just, we had so many different magazines there. But say if you had a single mother who had a drug problem, and then you were in North St. Louis, maybe you wouldn't be allowed to have that. And that's what I discovered. I discovered there was people with good upbringings and difficult upbringings, and many of them overcame it. So this is why I mean that the book is not just nostalgia, because nostalgia is just good things. It's the kid when he's in fifth grade. He looks over and he sees somebody shoot somebody else in the face. And this was told to me by a guy who now is a St. Louis cop.
Wow!
And,
how about that?
Yeah. And I talked to another guy who was making thousands of dollars in selling drugs when he was a freshman in high school.
High school?
He was kicked out, and he finally got down to Oakland High School. This was in the days of when they were just bringing you out to the county because he played baseball really well. And then afterwards, he was shot 4 different times.
Whoa.
And he now does mentoring work. He turned his life around. But so many people who were in life that are statistics.
So is this what growing up St. Louis is about? You have different people that you interview and talk to, and they tell their stories of what it was like to grow up in St. Louis?
Sure. I talked to my at Reedy Press. I talked to my publisher and about what we should do as the next book, and we talked about this. I said, "Yeah, that's a good idea." And so I went out. I said, "I need half women, half men. We need a certain amount of blacks. We need a certain amount of Jewish people, people who are Catholic, so on and so forth." But beyond that, it was totally random, and I found these, and I found again wonderful stories. Found a woman. She was 104 when I interviewed her.
Wow.
She told me about she grew up west of Kirkwood, and after and up to eighth grade, her education was paid for, and after that, she wanted to go to Kirkwood High School to be a teacher, and her dad said, "I don't want to pay for it," because you had to pay for it. And so she just moved into Kirkwood by herself, got a job helping some woman, and she got her high school degree, and she spent her life as a teacher. Now, that's women's
wow.
lit for you.
That is something else. I didn't realize based on her age when she was going through, high school wasn't a guarantee, so you would have to find a way to make it to high school?
She moved. She arranged to move in with this woman. I had another woman. She talked about she was just a little kid. I think she was 6 years old, and she was. And the woman next door in the 4 family flat was waiting right after Christmas. She was waiting for her husband to come home, and she had her Christmas tree, and the Christmas tree fell apart. So this girl's father arranged for the family Christmas tree to go over there and over to the next apartment. And so the guy came, he took the bus home, and he came in, and she had a Christmas tree waiting for him. This was like early January. And this is, totally at random. But the truth is, everybody's got stories like this. And that's
Well, do you mind holding on after the break? I got some questions for you when it comes to some of the other things and the people you spoke to. Do you mind holding on?
Okay. Love it.
Yeah, we're going to go to break, and we're going to continue our conversation with author Jim Merkel. He wrote the book Growing Up St. Louis. You can go check it out now, and maybe you can do a search for him. Merkel. Growing Up St. Louis is the name of the book on Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Learning a little bit about some of the stories, some individuals that grew up in St. Louis, and what were those experiences. Joining us is author of the book called Growing Up St. Louis, Jim Merkel. Thank you so much for coming on.
I love it.
You know, a couple of the stories you shared right off the bat, it had to do with gun violence, some shooting, some getting shot. Did you talk to a lot of people who were affected by gun violence in St. Louis?
Well, I don't think I talked to about, not a whole lot, because there is so much else. I talked to about 20 African-Americans, and I didn't just want to talk about gun violence. I wanted to talk about, just like any other community, the black community has a wonderful ethnic culture. I talked to a woman who was born in 1917. Mm-hmm. She talked about how she, every Sunday, this was over in Madison, she would go to church, and then she'd come home, and her grandparents would have wonderful, her whole family would have wonderful fried chicken and every kind of food, mashed potatoes, and every kind of food you could imagine. She also talked about how her her father lost everything when a bank went under, and so that's a different thing. I had somebody tell me about how he lived in University City and in a very wonderfully integrated street, and they had talked about how the Jewish person, they always got their clothes from this person who helped them, child who was white, and how his father went into business for years with this white gentleman, and so this is a different thing. And so there's gun violence, no, but I did have other things. I had maybe three or four events where people's a parent died. I had a woman describe to me about how she got polio, and she still. I had a case where a mother in a family with I think like six kids could not stand having. She needed a break, and so basically the family, all these kids were dropped into an orphanage.
Wow, and all the kids were?
All of them. Well, except for the one child who was too young, and then when the child got old enough, he was put in there too. And there was, this guy told me about how he was sort of bullied, but they said, what's it like to have parents,
I do have a question about all these different people you sat down and you interviewed. And I mean, you're talking to people with all kinds of different backgrounds, all kinds of different stories. Of all the people you interviewed, how many of them did you walk away and feel I had nothing in common with them?
Many of them, and that's the problem. I could probably come up to you and interview you because you're a white man who's fairly successful, but for me to come up to a Jewish person, interact with them, for me to come up with, to talk with a woman, to sit down, call up a woman and say, I want to meet you for coffee, so I can... So many of them, and the more they were from me, the harder they were to go out. And so I really had to reach. So
yeah, I get that. So when you start to have these conversations, how many times were you surprised by what they said? And growing up St. Louis, the author, Jim Merkel, joining us here, I'm guessing that you probably had a couple of moments where the things that they were telling you were just seemed too unbelievable.
Surprised in many ways. There was, I don't know. I mean, all kind of, this is life. I wanted to have the unbelievable thing. There was intentionality here in having groups represented, but there was also, and of course, I didn't represent, no way, mm-hmm. but there was also randomness. Delightful randomness that I had. So I don't think I had too many unbelievable things, but I did have, because
you know,
everybody's got a story.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many stories out there. You know, how many, in the end, you spoke to, you said, a couple dozen different people. Is that right, 20-some?
No, I spoke to more than 100, probably about more than 110.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
There was 98 of mine that got in, and we also added 7 from the beginning of the 20th century because we wanted to make this from 1900 to today. So this took me more than two. This took me about 2 years to do, and it was amazing.
Lots of work. Well, where if people actually wanted to check it out, kind of find some of those stories and read them for themselves, where can they find your book?
Bookstores are opening up now. You have the normal online thing. If they want to help an author, and also if they want to get my signature, Jim Merkel, the writer.
JimMerkel.com. Okay. Yeah.
JimMerkel.com.
Yeah, this has got to be tough. I know that a lot of times when there's books that come out with Reedy Press and they're so good that, you know, the books are so well done and they look so beautiful by the time they come out. You take them out into the public, you do different appearances, you go to different bookstores. What an interesting time to have a book come out and during the coronavirus. I bet you can't wait for things to open back up so you can get out into the public and start telling these stories.
Oh, I can't. Somebody writing the same book 50 years from now is going to get some great stories about what it was like in the days of coronavirus.
Oh, so, yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on again. People can go on your website, JimMerkeltheWriter.com, M-E-R-K-E-L, and they can do a Google search. When I did a search for your book, a couple of different of the places started to pop up where you can buy the book. And of course, people can just do a search for the book, Growing Up St. Louis, Looking Back Through the Decades. Thank you so much for coming on tonight and talking about your book on Overnight America.
Oh, it's been fun.
Thank you.
You have a good night.
You too. Now, he joins us on the TDK Technologies guest line. I love talking to local authors, those that are doing creative things. And, I really do appreciate good old Reedy Press. And we've had a lot of the different authors that have been published through them. They're a local company here. And they just do a really good job putting together some really great historical things to this region. And I do enjoy it. And what a tough time. You know, your book comes out in April 2020. Everyone's getting locked down. Normally, that's the time you're out and you're showing your book to the world. And, man, you got to hold it off a little bit longer. It's when you have something and you've worked on it that long, you want to go out there and show it off. And now's the time that it'll happen. But you can go look at it for yourself right now if you want to online, Growing Up St. Louis. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts, michaelsflooringoutlet.com.
And Overnight America continues for a couple more minutes. I am really looking forward to debuting this special tomorrow night, and I got to tell you that, you know, I worked on it a lot, and I think this will be one of 10 in the series that I am planning on putting together, these radio documentaries. I've done them in the past. I did them at a radio station I worked at in Indiana, and they were really well received. So I had a pretty good idea of what it takes to put these together. But when I started to put the audio and going through the shows, I found that the hardest part of all of this is that you never feel like you have enough, and there's always something else for you to go out and grab and listen to that could be something that you would want to include in the project. But at some point, you got to stop. You know, there's got to be a deadline, a cutoff. And I'm still finding new things out when it comes to KMOX and their personalities, it seems like, all the time. For a good year, I mean, I really would be on and off with this project. I would interview certain people. I would listen to shows. And it was something that I just became obsessed with in spurts. I would find something, and I'd love to listen to everything I can get my hands on, and then I found myself too busy, and I just didn't have the opportunity to do it like I wanted to, and then months would pass by, and I'd do nothing, and then something else would pop up, and I'd get a new motivation to do it. So when I had this opportunity to put this together for Mr. Robert Hyland, I was really excited for it. And I started to compile everything I had on him, and I realized I had an awful lot of material for someone that was not an on-air personality. Well, he did commentaries. They were pretty popular. He would come on the air every once in a while, and mostly on anniversary dates, and take calls from listeners. And, of course, he would call them and write them on Saturdays and spend time interacting that way. He was a big member of the public. You probably saw him walking around at some point or at some charity event or any event, really. And when I started to tell the story, I found that the best thing you can do is let other people tell the story. And so many people were appreciative of the chances that they received because of Mr. Hyland. He was an intimidating guy. Not everyone liked him, but a lot of people praised his genius when it came to the broadcast industry. And towards the end of his life, I think he started to get the credit that was really deserved. And for the longest time, KMOX was recognized as this landmark radio station that was able to usher in a new radio format that became very popular, and eventually something that you could even credit KMOX for is the popularity of political talk shows when it comes to television networks. I mean, that wasn't something that was even conceived of, but it was because of the popularity of radio and the personalities that brought it that you started to see networks like CNN bring Larry King and things to the airwaves. And it was because, I think in a way you can indirectly credit Mr. Robert Hyland for it. In fact, it was something he was very proud of, and he would say that in his radio interviews. Maybe it was just because a lot of the written materials that I found on him and the different interviews that were given to him, at least towards the publication, didn't come until later in the 1980s. And when I start to look at different publications, there were quotes that came in and here and there. People were interested if there was a change at KMOX or something happened with a personality and they would message him for a quote. I'm talking about them actually profiling him as a person that was influential in someone that really changed the direction of the radio industry and someone that had a very successful radio station for decades and stayed on top for decades, someone that never slept. You know, there was one article I read about him from the Chicago Tribune, I believe, and I can't remember who the writer of the article was. But they wrote this whole article, and the premise of it was the guy that never sleeps. I mean, he worked all the time, He would go into the radio station awfully early, and he would stay till the afternoon, go home and spend some time with his family. He would sleep a couple hours, it seemed like, and just get back up and do the exact same thing over again. And he did that all the time, except on Sundays. Sundays, he was a good Catholic boy. He went to church. And from what I understand, his daughter, Molly, who you'll hear in the documentary tomorrow, also mentioned that he attended a lot of morning services, a lot of Catholic morning services. So he was someone that was devout in that sense. Even when he was battling cancer at the end of his life, he still woke up and went to the radio station early, albeit maybe a half hour later than he was used to doing. Yeah, he was one of those guys. Even when he was in the hospital, and in his hospital bed, he was still directing KMOX from there. I have a story from Bob Hamilton, who you heard do news on KMOX about the night Mr. Hyland died, and that's included in the radio documentary tomorrow. I really don't want to ruin any of it for you, so I wanted to play audio clips, some of the things that stood out to me, and tell you why it stood out to me, but I just did not have the opportunity tonight, and I didn't want to ruin it or spoil it. But let me tell you how it's going to go down tomorrow. We're on tomorrow at 8 o'clock. From 8 to 9, we're going to talk some KMOX history. We're going to open up the phone lines for you, and if there's anything important that happens during the day tomorrow, we'll try to cover it very briefly, mostly because 9 o'clock will be the start of the radio documentary. From 9 until 11 will be the airing of this, and it's something that I put a lot of love into, and I learned a lot about KMOX through this process. And if you're someone that grew up listening to KMOX and through your adult life continues to, you're going to recognize a lot of the voices on it. There's probably 20 or 30 different people that you're going to hear on this radio documentary, that documentary that's going to ring a bell. And I really think you're going to love it. And then from 9 to 11, we'll air that in its entirety. And then at 11 o'clock, we'll come back for the last hour of Overnight America. And we're going to welcome in the one and only Bob Costas, who, by the way, was hired by Mr. Hyland, had a lot of great things to say. He came back to St. Louis and was part of many great events Mr. Hyland was a part of did speeches, did roast, did everything. And it will be interesting to hear his perspective, not only on the radio documentary, but what it was like to live through all of those heydays of KMOX radio and all the different personalities, you know, and really get a feel for what he was like. And just a little side note, too, this is something I submitted to the Radio Hall of Fame. I was shocked to find out Mr. Hyland is not included in the Radio Hall of Fame. Just shocked. Someone that had so many accomplishments, not only here in St. Louis, but nationally and with CBS Radio. I messaged Bob Costas and I said, hey, I want to try to get Mr. Hyland into the National Radio Hall of Fame. Will you help? And he said, absolutely. He wrote a letter that was included with our submission, and it was probably one of the coolest things I've ever read in my entire life, his letter of recommendation. It was so well done. It was like he was writing a book or a poem. Maybe a poem would be a better way to put it. It was poetic, beautiful. Put a tear and shed it. You shed a tear. Put it right to your eye there. So him coming on the show tomorrow, he has a lot of love and respect and admiration for how Mr. Hyland changed the trajectory of his life and how he gave him a chance and what that meant to him. I can't wait to hear some behind-the-scenes moments with Bob Costas tomorrow night at 11. But until then, you know what? Enjoy the rest of your night. Get a good night rest. Prepare for that documentary tomorrow. Follow me on Facebook, Ryan Recker Radio. Go like the page, Ryan Recker Radio. Enjoy the rest of your night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. The big night. We'll see you. Bye.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.